Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, January 30th, 2026. We'll start today's reading on the front page. Sonia Massey killing, former deputy, gets 20 years. This is from Springfield. A former Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy was sentenced Thursday to 20 years in prison for fatally shooting Sonia Massey, who had dialed 911 to report a possible prowler outside her Springfield home. Sean Grayson, 31, was convicted in October of second-degree murder. Grayson, who is white, received the maximum possible sentence. He has been incarcerated since he was charged with the murder in this case. He apologized during the sentencing, saying he wished he could bring Massey back and spare her family the pain he caused. I made a lot of mistakes that night. There were points when I should have acted, and I didn't. I froze, he said. I made terrible decisions that night. I'm sorry. But Massey's parents and two children, who lobbied for the maximum sentence, said their lives had changed dramatically since the killing. Her two children said they had to grow up without a mother, while Massey's mother said she lived in fear. They asked the judge to carry out justice in her name. Today, I'm afraid to call the police in fear that I might end up like Sonia, her mother, Donna Massey, said. When the judge read the sentence, the family reacted with a loud cheer. Yes, the judge admonished them. After the hearing, Massey's relatives thanked the public for the support and listening to their stories about Massey. 20 years is not enough, her daughter Summer told reporters. In the early morning hours of July 6, 2024, Massey, who struggled with mental health issues, summoned emergency responders because she feared there was a prowler outside her Springfield home. According to body camera footage, Grayson and Sheriff's Deputy Dawson Farley, who was not charged, searched Massey's yard before meeting her at her door. Massey appeared confused and repeatedly said, "Please, God." The deputies entered her house. Grayson noticed the pot on the stove and ordered Farley to remove it. Instead, Massey went to the stove, retrieved the pot, and teased Grayson for moving away from the hot, steaming water. From this moment, the exchange quickly escalated. Massey said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Grayson drew his sidearm and yelled at her to drop the pan. She set the pot down and ducked behind a counter, but she appeared to pick it up again. That's when Grayson opened fire on the 36-year-old single mother, shooting her in the face. He testified that he feared Massey would scald him. Grayson was charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder, which could have led to a life sentence. But a jury convicted him of the lesser charge. Illinois allows for a second-degree murder conviction if evidence shows the defendant honestly thought he was in danger, even if that fear was unreasonable. Massey's family was outraged by the jury's decision. The justice system did exactly what it's designed to do today. It's not meant for us, her cousin, Sante Massey, said after the verdict. Massey's killing raised new questions about U.S. law enforcement shootings of black people in their homes. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump negotiated a $10 million settlement with Sangamon County for Massey's relatives. The case also generated a U.S. Justice Department inquiry that was settled when the county agreed to implement more de-escalation training, collect more use-of-force data, and forced the sheriff who hired Grayson to retire. The case also prompted a change in Illinois law requiring full transparency on the background of candidates for law enforcement jobs. Grayson's attorneys had filed a motion for a new trial, which Judge Ryan Cadigan dismissed at the start of the sentencing. And the front page shows a headshot of Grayson and then an undated photo provided by the family's lawyers in July 2024 shows Sonia Massey of Springfield, Illinois, and she's in a graduation cap and gown, holding a baby and smiling very deeply. chillin' at the parks. A squirrel snacks on a nut at the Rock Springs Conservation Area in Decatur on Thursday, January 29th. In winter, squirrels experience torpor, which is decreased energy but not full hibernation. They sleep in their nests and leave occasionally to find food. And there's a picture of a squirrel sitting on a little out part of a tree with a walnut in its paws, as you call it, a paws, and his or her tail is up over the whole back of the body. And then there's Canada geese. They rest on the frozen water of Dreamland Lake at Fairview Park in Decatur on Thursday, January 29th. And the Canada geese are, most of them are hunkered down with their bills in their under their wing. There is one, however, standing on one leg on top of the snow on the lake. In local news on page A2, Braves Bundle, popcorn blend selected. Students from Mount Zion High School visited the Airport Plaza Kroger recently to choose a blend of flavors for their own signature popcorn. They named it the Braves Bundle, and it consists of a mix of churro, toffee, and white cheddar flavors. The mix will be available for sale at the popcorn kiosk inside the store, where you can also buy Panther Spice, which is Five Alarm, Sweet Chili, and White Cheddar, chosen by Eisenhower High School students earlier in the month to represent their school. The popcorn kiosk is a new feature at the Kroger store, which the company is trying out at all stores all over the region, and the Airport Plaza kiosk, which opened December 10th, is number one in the region in sales. Employees start popping at 7 a.m., continuing for almost 12 hours a day to keep up with the demand. And the photo here shows teachers Taryn Bland and Kendra Abner with their students, Bellamy Rhodes, Abby Haubner, and Ty Ball, show off the Braves Bundle signature popcorn blend available at the Airport Plaza Kroger. And they're in these plastic tubs with this blend, and the teacher and her students are wearing T-shirts that say FCCLA in a circle or in the front of their T-shirts. I can't see what else is on the front of the T-shirts. Boat and Power Sports show available in Mattoon. Boats, ATVs, side-by-sides, motorcycles, and golf carts will be on display this weekend at the Cross County Boat and Power Sports Show. Presented by Pilsen Power Sports and 31 Marine, the event will be from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, January 30th and 31st, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, February 1st, at the Cross County Mall in Mattoon. Attendees may bring current power sports vehicles or motorcycles for on-the-site trade-in appraisals. Financing assistance will also be available for those interested in purchasing during the event. For more information, contact Pilsen Power Sports at 217-258-2000. Again, for more information, contact Pilsen Power Sports, 217-258-2000. Lourdes students win Catholic School Spelling Bee. Our Lady of Lourdes School fifth grader, Ruby Wayne, took home the top honors in the Catholic Elementary School Spelling Bee this week. The Catholic Elementary Schools held their own Spelling Bee as part of a celebration of Catholic Schools Week. Since the suspension of county and regional spelling bees in the area, the schools added to the event, added the event to Catholic Schools Week to add to the fun, said spokesperson Jamie Moscato. Other top finishers are Ava Tatum, 7th grade, St. Patrick School, Lauren Pena, 8th grade, Holy Family School, and Jaden Galvin, 7th grade, St. Patrick. school. And there's a photo here of the winners of the Catholic Elementary School Spelling Bee are Ruby Wayne in fifth grade, Our Lady of Lourdes, Ava Tatum, seventh grade, St. Patrick, Lauren Pena, eighth grade, Holy Family, and Jaden Galvin, seventh grade, St. Patrick. And three of them, anyway, are holding trophies. I don't know why Ruby Wayne is not holding a trophy. But they're all standing there with smiles. And in the background is a sheet or a wall that says St. Teresa High School. Must have been where the event took place. Hints from Heloise, working magic with meal prep. Dear Heloise, I have a question about cooking foods at different times and temperatures when you only have one oven. This is always a dilemma when cooking a large meal, especially during the holidays. For my last holiday meal, I had a ham that had to be cooked for several hours at a certain temp. I had two casseroles that both had to be cooked at different temperatures and for a different amount of time. Then came the dessert. It also had to be cooked at another temperature and time. What is the best way to do this and still keep the food hot and tasty? I really don't like to cook ahead and microwave food, but this seems to be the only option. I have a warming tray, but it's not big enough for this many dishes. I also don't know how long food should be kept on one. Signed, I Want Good Holiday Food in North Carolina. I want good holiday food like thousands of other people. I know this dilemma all too well. This is what I have done in the past. I cooked the main dish first and placed it in the microwave to keep it warm. Then I cooked the second item that had the shortest cooking time. When it was done, I covered it in foil and placed it on top of the stove, which was warm. Then I went to the third item, which was done. When it was done, I placed the main dish in the oven to keep it warm. The second dish was still warm at this point, but I put it in the microwave for 2 to 3 minutes to heat it up while the rolls were rising in the oven next to the main dish. Next time, you could serve a cold dish such as chilled fruit salad or a frozen dessert such as ice cream, which you can dress up with toppings. In addition, next year, I think I should ask Santa for 4 new ovens, a pair of roller skates, and a post-holiday vacation to the Bahamas. By the way, anyone who says that people can't work magic has never seen someone cook a huge dinner and work out a seating arrangement for a large group. Signed, Heloise. Reading enjoyment. In response to Marvin Tiffany in New York, Nebraska, at 81 years of age, I, too, prefer a physical newspaper before breakfast. I'm recently widowed, and my husband and I liked to read the paper while we had breakfast. We would share the sections and talk about the news, the letters to the editor, and your column, of course. Reading the paper on a small screen, a mobile phone, or a desktop computer is very impersonal. There is no interaction or communication, and even though my beloved is no longer with me, I can still comment and know that he's with me in spirit. Long live physical newspapers. Signed, Valerie G. in Tucson, Arizona. Valerie, I know what you mean. I have always loved Sunday mornings when I would buy a thick newspaper at the donut shop and two of their large, warm cinnamon rolls, one for me and one for my husband. By the time I got home, the coffee was made, and I could spend a relaxing morning reading the news. Now it's all cell phones and computers. Welcome to the 21st century. Signed, Heloise. On this date in history, in 1649, England's King Charles I was executed for high treason. In 1835, in the first known attempt to assassinate a U.S. president, an unemployed house painter tried to kill President Andrew Jackson, but both of his pistols misfired and he was tackled. In 1933, Adolf Hitler was named Chancellor of Germany. In 1945, during World War II, a Soviet submarine torpedoed the German ship MV Wilhelm Gustloff in the Baltic Sea, killing over 9,000 people. Most of them were refugees. Roughly 1,000 people survived. In 1948, Indian political and spiritual leader Mohandas K. Gandhi, 78, was shot and killed in New Delhi by Nathuram Godse, a Hindu extremist. In 1968, the Tet Offensive began during the Vietnam War as communist forces launched surprise attacks against South Vietnamese towns and cities. In 1969, the Beatles staged an unannounced concert atop Apple headquarters in London that would be their last public performance. In 1972, 13 Catholic civil rights marchers were shot and killed by British soldiers in Northern Ireland, on what would become known as Bloody Sunday. In 2017, President Donald Trump fired acting U.S. Attorney General Sally Yates after she publicly questioned the constitutionality of his refugee and immigration ban and refused to defend it in court. Now let's turn to Asking Eric. Volatile daughter-in-law overhears family talking. My husband and I are in our 70s and have never really been able to get close to our daughter-in-law. She and our son have been married for 13 years. She's 9 years younger than him, and this is his second marriage. They have one child, who is 11. She's always angry. She has a very explosive temper and yells, slams doors, and has what I call tantrums. Her son is often on the receiving end of her anger. When he's alone staying with us, he's calm, happy, helpful, an all-around good kid. She shows up, and within 5 minutes, he is so different, nervous, and exhibiting the off-the-wall kind of behavior. They were here to pick up my grandson a few weeks ago, and she had one of her tantrums. She stormed out of my house, slamming the door so hard the weather station fell off the wall and broke apart. We started talking about her and her behavior and how it upsets us. She had quietly snuck back in the house and listened to our entire conversation. I took the opportunity to ask her why she's always so angry, and she seethed at me. Your son, all he wants to do is work and play his music. I admit we were talking about her and our opinions of her. My husband said, even said maybe our son works all those hours to get away from her. We are not blameless, but we think we were having a personal conversation in our home. Needless to say, our son hasn't contacted us at all, nor has he let our grandson contact us. I don't know what to do. She will not speak to us. She has no relationship with her parents and no friends. Do you see any way to have a relationship with my son and grandson going forward? Signed, Avoiding Anger. It's possible that your daughter-in-law is emotionally abusing your son and grandson, so the first step is to reach out to your son and express your regret about how things escalated and your concern for his safety. Tell him, even if he doesn't feel comfortable reconnecting with you right now, he should reach out to someone for support, a therapist, a faith leader, or the National Domestic Violence Hotline. The hotline, all one word, thehotline.org, or 800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E. It's either thehotline.org or 800-799-SAFE. It's dangerous for his family, to be isolated from others moving forward. Even if his wife's behavior doesn't rise to the level of emotional abuse, it's clearly disruptive, and that relationship needs help. You can't force him to get help, but if you prioritize his safety and well-being right now, it'll put you both in a better position to reconnect once he and or his family get help. Dear Eric, High Call Volume wrote to you concerning the friend with whom he reconnected, only to receive multiple calls a day. The letter writer wrote, "It drives me nuts for him to call so much. I've tried not answering and suggested texting is better for me, to no end. He calls 2 to 3 times a day. I grew up in my very early years in a household that had a party line phone. When we finally got our own individual line, we felt like kings. Every time the phone rang, it was for us, and we eagerly picked up the phone. Now I own a smartphone that most often shows who's calling. If I'm not able to answer, would be inconvenienced to answer or just don't want to talk with someone at that time, I let a call go to voicemail. The point is, just because someone is calling doesn't mean I have to answer at that time. High call volume could let his reconnected friend's phone calls go to voicemail and talk to him the next time he calls. Signed, picking up at my own discretion. Dear discretion, though the letter writer has tried not answering, you make a good point about mindset. Smartphones have all manner of call filtering features, from sending calls straight to voicemail to temporarily blocking them altogether. The letter writer can start to think of the calls from his friend as requests rather than demands. This may reframe his friend's enervating habit. People can call, but we don't have to pick up. In the larger scheme of things, this is an example of a good internal boundary. The letter writer can't control what the friend is doing. Though the friend has been asked to modify his behavior, he hasn't yet. But the letter writer can still put boundaries in place around his own behavior that preserve the relationship. I'm sure many of us have metaphorically ringing phones in our lives that are grating our nerves. It's good to remember that we can send them to voicemail. In Decatur's four-day forecast today, will be frigid with a flurry. Wind from the north, 7 to 14 miles an hour, with a high of 16. Regional outlook. Frigid today with a flurry. Expect less than 2 hours of sunshine with a 40% chance of precipitation and average relative humidity of 70%. Drying conditions poor, bitterly cold tonight. And as I said, tonight, mostly cloudy, frigid, wind from the north-northwest at 8 to 16 miles an hour with a low of 2 degrees. Saturday, very cold. Wind northwest, 8 to 16 miles an hour with a high of 21 and a low of 0. Sunday, very cold. Wind from the southwest, 7 to 14 miles an hour, high of 24. It sounds like it's getting better a little bit. And a low of 14. At least it's double digits. And Monday, mainly cloudy, chilly. Wind from the west, 6 to 12 miles an hour, with a high of 28 and a low of 20. Since there's not a lot of local stories, I'll read in the e-edition, plus senior health advice, tips for mastering the power nap, a smart snooze. If you need a quick pick me up during the day, a power nap can be just the thing to help restore mental clarity and fight off fatigue. Power naps can help boost productivity and improve your overall well-being, especially when you take them at the right time for the right duration. Power nap perks. Naps offer several health benefits that can improve your quality of life. Studies show that they can enhance mood, reduce fatigue, and improve alertness. A power nap lasting anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes allows your body and mind to rest without entering deep stages of sleep. Once you enter deep sleep, typically about 30 minutes after you've drifted off, you are likely to experience sleep inertia upon waking. Sleep inertia is the drowsy feeling you may get when you wake up, in which you feel temporarily disoriented and are slower to react. It can take your body 30 to 60 minutes to recover from sleep inertia. Power naps may support work performance too. Researchers at NASA found that pilots who napped 20 to 30 minutes were more alert and more proficient at their jobs than pilots who didn't nap. A shorter nap can also help you bypass some health risks associated with longer naps. For example, a 2023 study found that adults who napped longer than 30 minutes were more likely to experience high blood pressure and blood sugar levels than people who did not nap. Short nappers did not share this increased risk. Tips for a restorative nap. Time it right. Aim to nap in the early afternoon, ideally between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m., when your body naturally experiences a dip in energy. Napping too late in the day can interfere with nighttime sleep. That said, the ideal time to nap varies by individual. Some people may benefit from earlier naps depending on what time they wake up and go to sleep. Keep it short. Set an alarm to wake you up after 20 to 30 minutes. A short nap will leave you refreshed rather than groggy. Create a cozy environment. Find a quiet, dark, and comfortable space where you won't be interrupted. If you're in a bright or noisy area, consider using an eye mask or earplugs to help you fall asleep faster. Listen to your body. If you frequently feel the need for a nap, it may be a sign of inadequate nighttime sleep. While a power nap can help boost energy in the short term, make sure you're prioritizing a good night's rest as well. Frequent daytime drowsiness can also be a sign of sleep apnea, a common disorder that causes people to stop breathing for short periods during sleep. Talk to your doctor if you are regularly sleepy during the day or if you're a loud snorer. Note your results. Napping is not for everyone. If you aren't feeling refreshed after a short nap, the best approach may be to avoid napping altogether and focus on getting a good night's sleep. Tips to promote nighttime sleep too. Keep a consistent schedule. Exercise daily. Keep your room dark and cool. Take a social media break and limit your caffeine intake. And the photo here that accompanies the article is a man on a couch. He's got his shoes on the couch and a hat over his eyes. In national briefs, CEO killed. A man falsely claiming to be an FBI agent showed up to a federal jail in New York City on Wednesday night and told officers he had a court order to release Luigi Mangione, authorities said. Mark Anderson, 36, of Mankato, Minnesota, was arrested and charged with impersonating an FBI agent. So the CEO was killed was the person killed by Luigi Mangione, a United Healthcare CEO, a year or two ago. In Minnesota, U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar said Thursday she's running for governor of Minnesota, promising to take on President Donald Trump while unifying a state that has endured a series of challenges even before the federal government's immigration crackdown. The European Union, German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, hailed the European Union on Thursday as an alternative to imperialism and autocracy that can forge deals with like-minded partners in a world of increasing great power rivalry. Immigration ruling. A federal appeals court ruled Wednesday that the Trump administration acted illegally when it ended legal protections that gave hundreds of thousands of people from Venezuela permission to live and work in the United States. And mortgage rates. The benchmark 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rate rose to 6.1% from 6.09% last week. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac said Thursday, 1 year ago, the rate averaged 6.95%. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, January 30th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.